He's always been faithful. He has been and he will again. All right? That's one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite songs. I'm amazed that he loves me. It might be my all-time favorite that Jerry sings. And this is probably right beside it. That's the other rail. He's always been faithful to me. Of course, tomorrow the favorites might change, but right now that's my favorite in my mind, my heart right now anyway. Glad you're here this morning. I want you to listen. I want you to listen carefully. For some, the message this morning might seem harsh. For some, it may seem needed. For some, it's not going to matter no more than it has in the past. Yeah. For some, we'll wonder, does it fit me? For some, we'll say, yeah, that's me. The Word of God will help us today, and the Lord will help us today. But we got to let the Lord help. We have false, I don't know, assumptions of life. We're seeking things that we already have. We're looking for answers that we've already been given. We think we're needy and we have extra, all from the Lord. We're not in poverty. We're in riches, the riches of His grace. We are not, we're not going to perish. If you're going to perish this morning, if you believe you're going to perish, you need to come to Christ and be saved. I listened to the Sunday School Hour this morning and listened to what Brother Rick shared with us and showed us. And I seen the mentality of the world, but that mentality is not far from what's in the church house. God is not real in the church house. He's not real in the world. We saw that this morning in the Sunday School Hour, and we listened to the people that's teaching our people that God is not real. But then I look at us, who've been taught the truth and the Word of God, and then we look at our lives and God ain't real either. He's not real. He is at times. And I'm not downing no one. We all have got issues. Lord knows I've got mine. But we're going to preach, if nothing don't change, this will be the last message on reality. At least for now. And we're going to preach reality this morning, and we're just going to be asking a simple question down toward the end. And it's something that you're going to answer today. Everybody in this building and those watching online will answer the question that we're going to ask here in a moment. You will answer the question. You will not be neutral. You will not be. You can't be. You will answer the question. I want you to listen carefully. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I come. And Lord, we need you this morning. Lord, we're needy people. But you are the great God. You are the Savior. You are what we need today. Lord, I ask for help this morning. I ask for help in my own life, my own problems, the things that I deal with. Lord, I need help. I need strength, wisdom. And Lord, there's not a person in here this morning that is trouble free. There's not one here this morning that don't have something going on, and they got to have wisdom. They got to have help. Lord, we have lived so long without you, trying to do it ourselves, that we've got ourselves in a fix. And Lord, we need help. And Lord, I ask this morning that you might speak to our heart. Lord, you're still the answer. You're still the answer. And help us to trust you with all we have in us this morning. Well, thank you and praise you. Please search me out. I know I've got wrong in me, Lord. I'm trying to clean up. And Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live. Forgive me where I fail you. Touch me fresh. Give me power as you see fit. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. I believe with all my heart that he is all we need. Speaking of the Lord. That's not going to change. The Lord is what we need. Now, we've done this. We've read this. If I would start here and go back on every pew, we know that in our heart, unless you're not saved, we know that the Lord is what we need. And we readily take him for salvation, it seemed like. Or we that are in here saved this morning, we've taken him as in salvation. But then it's like he's not no longer able to help us. That he's no longer to be what we need. But I'm telling you this morning, he is what we need. But sometimes we forget the responsibility that comes with being a Christian. And the places that we find ourselves in that we, a lot of times of our own choosing. There's many of us here this morning, if not maybe most of everybody this morning, don't really deal with deep sin. You deal with the consequences of past sin. Bad choices. We might be right now trying to hit everything exactly right, do everything like, but it seems like we're paddling upstream in heavy current. It's tough. But it's because of past decisions. Past things. And I think we're all like that. You say, what is the answer? All I know to do is just trust the Lord. I can't go back and change life. I can't go back and change. I just got to do right from here on. And me and Rodney was talking earlier, we're in the shape we are physically by the stuff we've consumed so readily. I believe that with all my heart. We've eaten so much chemicals. That's why you can't even die quickly. It takes you so long to die. You're so preserved with everything pumped in you. That's the truth. I don't even know if they'd have to embalm us, really. When we did die, we're pickles from the things of the world. But that's the thing. And then we look at all the things that we consume other than just food, the things we consume in our mind and the things we consume with our ears and our eyes. And that causes us to be where we're at today. But there's still reality. There's still reality, and the bottom line is that the Lord is the answer, and that I'm going to be better off if I just go ahead and follow the Lord. See, I don't know that the Lord's an option. Now, we live in like he's an option, but I believe it's an absolute. I believe the Lord's an absolute that you got to have the Lord. Without the Lord, you ain't going to make it. I'm just telling you, without the Lord, you ain't going to make it. Now, it don't matter what stage of life you're in. Without the Lord, you ain't going to make it. And if you try to live your life without him, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's just simplicity. But it's always been this way that the Lord had been set aside. All our whole life now is by faith. We got to live by faith, not by sight. You would thought that if it was by sight, it would be easier. It would be easier. But there was people in when I read my Bible, there's people that walk with the Lord that was in the same shape that we're in. And they walk side by side. Some lived with him. Some never left his side for 3.5 years. They eat, they slept in the same rooms, they eat the same meals, they journeyed every step of the way, and yet they had the same issues we had. So the Lord made it easier. Now listen to me. The Lord made it easier because There was a time that when Jesus was in upper room, one of the disciples was not. Thomas. The Bible plainly says it, and Thomas was not there. So there was times that the Lord couldn't be there for everybody. So he made it easier. That when he went to the cross and died for our sins and was buried and rose again, he promised it that he would leave and send a comforter. And now he moves inside that he cannot and will not leave any believer. So we always constantly have the presence of the Lord. Always. So if I'm having a good day, I'm in the presence of the Lord. If I'm having a bad day, I'm in the presence of the Lord. But the presence of the Lord, it cannot leave me. He said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And you'd think that'd be easier than even walking on earth with him. Don't you think? When he moves inside, you have God inside. Wouldn't you think that'd be easier? But for some reason, it's not. For some reason, it's not. So I don't know what the issue is. I've got concerns. I've got concerns for our church. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about me. I'm concerned about how long it's going to be before I fall, before I quit, before I don't. I think I'll retire and step aside. Huh? I wonder how long it'll be before I succumb to the pressures of the world. And you say, and I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, I wonder about me. You ever wonder about you? Because I wonder about you the same. I wonder how long it's going to be before you're no longer here. I wonder how long it's going to be before our name is added to the casualty list. Huh? I wonder how long it's going to be. You say, well, it won't be me. Well, we just moved you up. Just moved you up on the chances. On the percentage. Because the Bible plainly says, let he that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And even though the next verses go on to say, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, not willing you be tempted above that you're able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape, that you may be also able to bear it. That's wonderful truth there. But the first truth is, we better take heed lest we fall. How long before we are the casualty? See, I look over the list of people. I look over the list of our church people. I look over the list of those who used to come and those who slack off for various reasons. I look for those who are sick and can't come. I look for those who used to be sick and ain't sick no more but still don't come. I look for those who've been consumed by the world, who've been sucked up by the cares of the world and the things of the world. I look at our young people that are being sucked in to worldly things and Christian parents allowing it to happen. And in a few years, they're going to turn around and their children's not going to be in the house of God. I see this and mourn, but nobody listens. Nobody listens. We see it happening. We've even said in years past that these things happen and yet still walk off the edge. And I wonder how long it'll be before we do the same. You say, well, you don't have to worry about that. Well, I'm glad you don't. I will. As long as I'm pastor, I can't help not. I can't help not. This morning we're going to look at reality. Reality. True discipleship. True disciples. That's what we're going to look at this morning. True disciples. Reality. What is reality? Well, since we all love our computers and our handheld devices, all of us, I'm not being sarcastic, we live with it. Even the ones that don't use it much still wonder where it's at. Still won't leave home without it. You know, even those who don't stay on social media, you'll have their phone. Huh? Wikipedia. Anybody familiar with Wikipedia? Anybody? We'll make sure everybody knows. Wikipedia is just the encyclopedia on the computer. All right? I like Wikipedia. I live such a bored life that sometimes I just read things in Wikipedia. I used to read the encyclopedia paperback. And now I read it on my handheld device. But Wikipedia says this. Now listen to me. I'm not being critical of nobody. When everybody look at me, I'm not being critical of nobody. I'm not going to belittle your problem. I'm not going to belittle your tragedies. I'm not going to belittle your sicknesses. I'm not going to belittle the holes you're in. But I will ask you a question at the end. Because this is reality. It's hard. It's hard to live in a make-believe world. I laughed this morning. We watched Sunday school. If you missed Sunday school, you just missed a lot. They showed a video, and it said, one woman said that she had trouble believing in the Lord because of imagination. I thought that was the funniest. If people don't believe in God, says we have too big imagination, and they believe that we come from a fish, and that a T-Rex dinosaur turned into a bird, and that one fella, he didn't know what he'd believe. He didn't know where we had gills or lungs. He didn't. He was so confused, you know. But I tell you, we better get out of our imaginary world and see some reality. All right? Wikipedia says, concerning a disciple, all right? Concerning the definition of a disciple is, in Christianity, a disciple is a dedicated follower of Jesus. Well, that makes sense. Would that make sense to everybody? But wait a minute, that ain't all. It says a disciple in the biblical world actively imitates both the life and teaching of the master. It was deliberate apprenticeship which made the fully formed disciple a living copy of the master. Now that's a disciple. How many disciples we got in here this morning? It says in Christianity, a disciple is a dedicated follower of Jesus. A disciple in the biblical world actively imitates both the life and teaching of the master. It was deliberately apprenticeship, deliberate apprenticeship, which makes the fully formed disciple a living copy of the master. A living copy of the master. Interesting. John chapter 6 is where we'll be for just a little bit. The whole chapter. Whole chapter. And we're not going to go verse by verse, okay? We're just going to give you a highlight, all right? And we're just going to... John chapter 6 is a good common chapter because it has all of us in it. John chapter 6 has all of us in it. Me, everybody in this bank of pews, all the way across to everybody. Kids downstairs, those on live stream. John chapter 6 has us all in it. All right? And I'm not going to read every verse till we get down to the main question. But if I look in John chapter 6 and I read verses 1 through 14, we see a wonderful account of the feeding of the 5,000. Anybody familiar with that? The wonderful account of feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, and shows me that roughly 20,000 people could have been fed with two little fish and five loaves of bread. Ain't that a wonderful account? If there's anything encouraging in the Word of God, them miracles are encouraging to me. How about you? I mean, it shows God's awesome. The Lord's awesome to take two little sardines and five little tiny biscuits, you know, just a lunch, just a boy's lunch, a young boy's lunch, all right, and feed right at 20,000 people till they're full and have 12 baskets full left over. That amazes me. I don't know about you, but that amazes me. You know, if he just had 12 baskets full left over, it would amaze me. But to feed 20,000 and have 12 baskets full left over, that only the Lord can do that. Do y'all believe that this morning? I believe that. So when I read that, I see, first thing I see is the care of the Savior. Because he cared, he was hungry. Because he asked the disciples, what are we going to feed all these? You know, how are we going to take care of these? What are we going to do? He already knew what he was going to do. So he cared about them being hungry. Can I tell you, what you look at me this morning, the Lord cares about your individual needs, whether or not you're eating or not. He cares about your individual needs. I'm not asking you that. I'm telling you that he cares about your individual needs. That you, by yourself, just you, are important to the Lord. Huh? And then the next thing I see is the supply of the Savior. Because then when he sees, he don't just care, but he does something about it. And he takes care of you. He takes care of you. We still okay? Now that's, if I want to read verses 1 through 14... that's what I'll find. But then if I want to read verses 15 through 21, then I'm going to see, it just gives us an example of the journey of disciples, the journey of the people, his disciples. You know, we're all on a journey. We're all traveling. We're all moving, working, busy. All of us are like that. We're rowing. It talks about rowing. And they rowed, a 4 mile or so. I don't know about you. That's a long way row boat. Huh? I don't know if I can row one 4 yards. Huh? They row one 4 mile, big boat. Can I tell you that our journey's long? We've been in this thing. Y'all been in this thing a long time, right with me? Huh? The journey's long, ain't it? It's long. And rowing gets dark. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, anybody tired? We're plumb out. We're plumb out of rowing, fighting the waves. That's us. That's life. That's life. And then on the journey, we get afraid. And I don't know about you. I know that the Lord does not give us the spirit of fear, but there's times I get scared. I get scared of what's going to take place on the journey. You know, I do not fear death, none whatsoever. I don't. You think I'm crazy, but I don't. I've done got to the point I'm not even fearing the way I'm going to die. Huh? But there's things that I fear. I fear for Cheryl. I fear for the boys. I fear for the grandchildren. I fear for you. I fear what you're going to face. There's still fear. I get afraid. I get afraid on the journey. Huh? But you know what I find? I don't just find it's all about the disciples. I see the Lord sees what's going on. He sees the journey. He sees the road. He sees adversity because storms come up. We see that, the fear. But I see the faithfulness of a Savior. That he's aware, and in just a little bit, he ends up getting in a boat and calms and says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. He's there. He's faithful to do that. Are you listening to me this morning? You may not can hear him. There may be too much going on in your life that you can't hear, but he's still hollering out to us, be not afraid. I am here. You can count on it. You can count on it. Huh? So that's what I see. So we can all relate to that, can we not? But then I look at verses 22 through 27, and this is such a sad passage of scripture, because we see why most people follow Jesus. But we see it's just for what they get out of it. Because Jesus says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. See, the sad part is, that's why the majority of people follow Jesus. See, that's the reality. People don't get saved to have a relationship with Christ. They get saved to get out of hell. People don't get saved because they fall in love with Jesus. They get saved because their belly's empty and they want some bread. They want material possessions, and we've got brainwashed by the false teaching of the TV preachers that wealth and health all comes by living for God. And though we don't believe it, we do. And we think that living for the Lord, everything's going to be right. And everything's going to be perfect, and there's always going to be plenty. And yet, the Bible says that if we follow Jesus, He said, are you sure you want to follow me? He said, well, come and see. And He told us in His word that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay His head. Listen, if you're going to follow Christ, it don't mean you're always going to have an excess. But yet we follow Him to get our belly full. When we ask for things, it's to make us happier. The prayers that we pray, I don't know what you pray. I hear people pray. But it's rare that anybody prays, God, put me in a place where I only can follow You. But we will pray, God, make it easy today. Take away my burden today. Did you know that if you go back and read about the tabernacle, they was three sons, and I'll get all their names mixed up, but they had different jobs to do when it come to taking care of the temple, taking care of the tabernacle. And they was one of the sons there. It started with a K. Koliath, or you know what I'm talking about? How you say his name starts with a K. One of the sons of Levi. Anyway, they had to take care of the tabernacle. Everybody follow me? Go back and just read it. All right. If you got a Scofield Bible, it'll be on in Exodus. Be on the right hand page, left hand column. About down the end of the verse 20-something chapter of Exodus there. All right? That's where it'll be. Okay, I can't give you exact. All right? Do you know what their burden was? Their burden, they were not allowed not to have a burden. When they was taking care of the things in the tabernacle, their job, now you picture this, their job was to take the veil and wrap a veil up, if I remember right, when they took the Ark of Covenant to move it, they put the staffs in that, they were to wrap that with the veil. And then when they wrapped that up with the veil, then they put all the badger skins and everything on top of it and covered it. Y'all follow me? Now, that Ark of the Covenant was about the size of the communion table, close. All right, but that veil, you know, it was 4 foot thick or so, however thick it was. It was heavy. They allowed about 800 pounds. Time they wrapped all that up and all that gold on top of that wood. And them boys had to run that stuff through, and they got to carry that. And you know, they never could let it go. They had to always carry the burden. But you know who it was for? The Lord. Nobody could relieve their burden. Just want you to know that. Nobody could relieve their burden. They always had to carry it themselves. Nobody was allowed to carry it for them. But it was all for the Lord. But yet we don't ever ask the Lord for a burden. We're asking for another slice of bread. Just an observation. That took us down to verse 51. Pick up at verse 52. Go down through verse 59. All I see is Jesus trying to convince them that I'm the Lord. That I'm the bread of life. I'm all you need. You know, we would have thought that the people that followed Christ and watched all this with Christ, we would have thought that they would have picked up and he was the Lord for all that he was doing. And he came and said, I'm the bread of life. You're going to have to take me, my flesh, my blood. You're going to have to take me. I'm he. I'm all you need. Can I tell you that the New Testament is showing us and the Old Testament the same, that the Lord is all we need. Do you believe that this morning? That the Lord is all you need. You don't need a house. You don't need a car. You don't need groceries. You don't need water. You don't need nobody. The Lord is enough. Do you believe that? You don't need a nickel. You don't need a dime. The Lord is enough. But I don't know that we believe that. I don't know that we do. They didn't. They watched him heal blinded eyes and make crippled to walk. And they watched him raise the dead. They watched him do all this. They watched him. They had just watched him take a little boy's lunch and feed 20,000 people. And he said, do you not see I am the bread of life? I'm he. I'm he. I'm he. You're going to have to follow me. And they said, that's pretty hard. That's all they could say. Oh, you follow me this morning. I'm just preaching John chapter 6. Huh? See, when I read verses 60 through 63 then, I see people speaking from their heart. Verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. You know what they're saying? It's hard. You expect us to follow you? That's hard. You expect us to believe that you're God and that you're in control? Man, that's hard. I'm asking you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe he's God? Do you believe he's all that you need? Or is it for you hard like it was these guys? You say, but look at the mess I'm in. Yeah, what caused your mess? What caused your mess? Was it obedience? How many of us are in a mess because we was obedient to the Lord after he saved us? Huh? How many of us are in the shape we're in because we made the decisions God wanted us to make? I find my blessing when I've been obedient. I find my problems when I'm disobedient. That's what I find. Now, I don't know nothing about persecution because I ain't never lived godly enough to have any. I'm not persecuted being a Christian. I have never been persecuted being a Christian. I have not never met anyone that was. But yet the Bible tells me those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. So that brings us down to the end of the chapter. Verse 64. Now, I'm not being harsh. I'm concerned about us this morning. Huh? See, in verses 60 through 63, people did speak from their heart and said, you want to be first place? You want us to follow you alone? You want us to believe everything you say? Now, are you catching me this morning? That all that Jesus asks is that we follow him. He said, if you would be my disciples, forsake everything else and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Deny everything else. Ain't that what it says? What the scripture said? Come follow me. Come follow me. That's all we hear in the word of God. Follow me. But it's only convenient. See, if we're not Baptists, we're convenient Christians. We're a Christian when it's convenient. When our priorities come, we're a Christian. When it's our priorities, it's convenient. That's what these people's having trouble with. You mean you want to be first place in my life? Man, that's hard. That's a hard saying. Who can hear this? So then it brings us down to 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Huh? For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, saying to you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Can I tell you what I see today? I'm telling you what I see. And if you guys at all, do you not see disciples walking away today? Do you see that? Now here's our message. That's just a quick preaching of chapter 6. Verse 67 is our message. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? That's my question to you this morning. Are you going to be one today that goes away? Will you be one that quits? Will you be one that don't follow the Lord no more? Are you in line to be the one that quits? Many are practicing. Many are testing the waters. Many are testing the waters to see if it's going to be, can I get by? Well, we're close to that edge. How close can I get? How close can I get? Wonder if I can get right there. I wonder. Can I live there? Can I live there? Or will I just go away? That's what Jesus asked. Who? His disciples. His disciples who are called disciples. In Christianity, a disciple is a dedicated follower of Jesus. A disciple in the biblical world actively imitates both the life and teaching of the master. It was deliberate apprenticeship which made the fully formed disciple, a living copy of the master. Will you also go away? Give you five things and we'll quit. Sherwin, you'll be ready to go to Panna here just when I motion you. Just as I am without one plea, Brother Steve, is what we'll sing here. Just five things I want to ask you this morning. Will you also go away? Will you also this morning reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing full well you're sitting there lost without God? Will you willfully walk away rejecting Jesus Christ today? Will you go away? Will you go away? Knowing that you're lost, knowing there's something missing in your life, knowing that you're not Bible saved. I'm asking you this morning, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Will you also go away this morning forgetting the miracles that's been done? Can I tell you that many of these people walked away? They are the ones who eat of the five loaves and two fishes that were the miracle. They saw it, they ate it, and they walked away. Will you walk away from the miracles that God has done in your life? Look at us this morning. Miracle after miracle took place in this church house over and over. And the greatest miracle is when He saved our soul. But look what He's done over and over in our church body. And yet, people walk away. They walk away. I'm asking you this morning, I'm not asking the ones that's not here. I'm asking us this morning, will you also go away? Will you become one of the casualties that goes on our permanent prayer list? Will you go to the one that no longer attends? Will you go away? Jesus didn't ask us to the multitude. You know who he asked? The 12 that was following him right at the beginning. He didn't ask the ones that didn't have no foundation. He asked the ones that was tied up against him, will you also go away? Will you? You know, he was talking to the one that was betraying. He was talking to the one that would deny him. He was talking to the one that would doubt him. He was talking to two that was eat up with pride. He was talking to one that was skeptical. Huh? Of Judas and Peter and James and John and Nathaniel and Thomas. That's who he was talking to. And he said, will you go away? I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you as your pastor. Will you go away, Austin? Will you go away, Austin? Will you be here Christmas? Will you be here come spring? Or are you going to go away? Will you also go away? Will you also go away? Many contemplated. Many wondering where they should go somewhere else. Many wondering if this is a place for you. Men are wondering. Many wonder, have I done enough? Maybe I've just done enough and I'll just get out of the way. I'm asking this morning, will you also go away? See, it ain't going away from the preacher. See, here's the sad part that I watch. Can you listen to me? Can you hear me this morning? Can you hear me? I'm watching those who are on the casualty list. Their joy's gone and their homes are a mess and their lives are distraught and they don't know where to turn and there's no heaven. They walk around with solemn faces and hung down. There's nothing there and they've walked away. Will you also go away? I know of no one. Hear me live stream. I hope people go back and watch. I know of no one. Not one that has left that's full of joy. If that's the leadership of God, then I am a hippopotamus. That's my imagination. Now, what I choose to be a hippopotamus. That's why I'm fat. And you say, well, that's stupid. Now, that's what everybody that's left. Everybody that's left. Everybody that's left. Listen, I'm not stupid. Reality. I'm asking you, will you also go away? People ain't left because of the Lord. They left because they couldn't get their way. Right. Amen. That's the plain of it. Right. Amen. Will you also go away? I hear no reports of souls being saved where they've all went to. I hear no reports of great revivals where they've all went to or great spiritual happening. No. Amen. What I hear is sadness and gloom. People that's rejected Christ, forgot the miracles, neglected the supply that's been provided every day. If you are short on the Lord, it's because you ain't opened up another bucket. Amen. Are you hearing me? Because His supply never, never, never empties. When the woman dipped in a barrel, He didn't fill the barrel up. Was that not what Doug Holly preached to us? Amen. He didn't fill the barrel up for the widow woman. They wasn't a thing in that barrel. She got the last spoonful out of the barrel. But every time she went back, it was another spoonful. Amen. Just because He don't fill the barrel up don't mean His supply is gone. You just keep a dipping. It's in there. It's in there. But yet we'll neglect the supply that He offers spiritually and physically and finally everything that we need. He's still enough. Hear me this morning. He's still the God. Hey, can I tell you, there's a miracle sitting right back here this morning. They found out what the baby was going to be. If there's not another miracle in this church, Abigail Radford is a miracle. She ain't supposed to be here, and she's cancer free. It's impossible that she be pregnant and she's going to have a little girl. Hallelujah to God in the highest. Don't tell me He's not enough. But I'm asking you, will you go away? Will you go away too? Huh? Or is it not enough? Will we waste His faithfulness to us? Oh, He's forsaken me. He can't. He's faithful and you don't acknowledge Him. He's faithful and He never left us. He's not put us in a hole. But we got in the hole and He climbs in the hole with us. Are you hearing me this morning? I can't forget His faithfulness. But boy, I do. How can I forget His faithfulness? But I do. Am I going to be on the list? Will I go away? I'm no more spiritual than you are. Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. You're going to have to tell me. Will you go away? I'm asking you a question this morning. Will you also go away? Will you? Will you? Will we reject Christ? Will we forget the miracles? Will we neglect the supply? Will we waste His faithfulness? Will we believe He's still all that you need? Verse 67 says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Can I ask you, if you're going to leave, where are you going to go? If you're going to quit, where are you going to go? If you're going to walk away, where are you going to go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, verse 69, and we believe and are sure. I'm just going to stop right there. Do you believe and sure? Are you sure? Amen. Are you sure? Are you sure? We believe and are sure. Peter said, we believe. It's so funny. He getting ready to deny Him. You ready to say? But you know what? He didn't deny who he was. He just denied he was affiliated with him. He had problems in the flesh, but he never denied who he was. Do you know that? He never denied who he was. He just denied, I can't handle the pressure. But we believe and are sure. I'm going to ask you this morning, sure, go to Penn. Steve, you come. And only thing I know to do is just give you an invitation the way I preach. I'm condemned for giving the invitation. Then I'm condemned for not giving one. I'm condemned for giving an invitation because they say it's manipulation. Then I'm condemned for not giving one because I'm a liberal. So I reckon I'm just a liberal manipulator this morning. I'm going to ask you just straight up. Just straight up. Look at me this morning. Just straight up. You going to go away? Is the world sucking you in? Are you going to go away? Are you going to lay it all aside because of pressure? Everybody that followed Christ in the Bible, when he stepped up to following, the reason it was such a big thing is because they knew when they stepped out to following, they put a big bullseye on their back to be killed for being a Christian. Wasn't nobody in line to give them a bunch of flowers and a box of candy, but they was in line to kill them. But we want the box of flowers and candy. Will you go away? Will we reject Christ? Will we forget the miracles? Will we neglect the supply? Waste the faithfulness? We believe this morning. Father, this is reality. I pray this morning that we might be real with you. In Jesus' name, amen.